You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So we're with the dispute between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. And we were talking about a woman who went with her husband to a country beyond the sea, and she came back. She said, "My husband is dead." The halacha is that she can marry and she can take a ketubah, but her rival wife is forbidden because she can't bear testimony about her rival wife. And that means if the rival wife were the daughter of an Israelite married to a priest, the rival wife would still be permitted to eat truma because she's considered still married. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva wants to be strict. And he says, no, in order to keep everything totally strict, she'd have to be forbidden from remarrying, but also forbidden from eating truma. And we learnt that the halacha does not go according to Rabbi Akiva. It goes to Rabbi Tarfon. It's almost as if the Mishnah can live with a logical disconnect. She's forbidden from remarrying, but she can still eat truma as if she were married. So her husband is kind of both alive and both dead at the same time, Schrodinger's cat. And this dispute between Rabbi Tarfon, who's lenient and pragmatic, and Rabbi Akiva, who's strict, then plays out in the next Mishnah with three parallel discussions. And we'll see that these three discussions actually begin with the topic of Yevamot, but they segue, they morph into other issues very rapidly. So let's have a look. We're in the eighth Mishnah of the 15th chapter. Ha'isha she'alcha himvala uvna li medinat hayam. So a woman went with her husband, as before, to a country beyond the sea and with her son. So she's gone to a country beyond the sea with her son. And she comes back, Ve'amra meit bali v'chakach meit b'ni. My husband died, and afterwards my son died. So that means that when her husband died, he was not childless. He had a son, right? The husband died first and then the son. So when the husband died, he was not childless. She wasn't liable to Yibum or Chalitza. She's free. She can marry anybody she likes. The halacha says, ne'emenet. She's believed. And if she goes the other way around, b'ni ve'chakach meit bali, my son died and after my husband died. So my husband effectively died childless. And she's claiming, therefore, a relationship to her yabam. Now, we're much more careful about a relationship with a yabam than with anybody else, because the marriage to a brother-in-law is a forbidden relationship. Remember, in general, it's forbidden. It's one of those relationships which is either mandatory or forbidden. If it's mandated by Yibum, it's mandated, but in all other cases, it's forbidden. So in this case, actually, we're not going to believe her. She says, "B'ni v'chakach meit bali, my son died, afterwards my husband died." Eina ne'emenet, we don't believe her. Chosheshim l'dvareha, we're just concerned about her words. So what do? Choletzet v'lo mityabemet. She performs chalitza, but she doesn't perform yibum. So her evidence seemingly is good enough to marry a normal person, but not good enough to perform yibum. So she performs chalitza, and then of course she's free to marry anybody she likes. Now, what if she said, "My husband died first, and my father-in-law died after him"? So now she's gone abroad, not with her husband and her son, but her husband and her father-in-law. Amra, Mate bali v'charkach mate chamati. My husband died first, and then my father-in-law died. So now she's a widow, and her mother-in-law is also a widow. We've now got two widows. Tina Seviti tol ketubah. She can marry again. She gets her ketubah. And we've learned, we've learned this halacha sufficiently often that we're familiar with it now. A sole woman can testify about the death of her husband. It's no problem. She comes from abroad. She testifies about the death of her husband. She can remarry. She takes her ketubah. It's the halacha of Rabbi Tarfon. But, v'chamota asura, her mother-in-law is forbidden. A mother-in-law can't remarry. Just as we learnt in the previous Mishnayot, she can't testify on behalf of a rival wife because it's known that rival wives dislike each other. She can't testify on behalf of her mother-in-law either because it's known that mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws hate each other. At least that's the concern of the Mishnah. And even though after her husband died, her mother-in-law is no longer a mother-in-law, right? Because they don't have a relationship. Even though, I mean, she said, mate ba'aliv acharkach mate chami. My husband died first, and then my father-in-law. So by the time the father-in-law died, he was no longer her father-in-law. Her husband was dead. But even then, the Mishnah seems to be concerned that, you know, these two women, they don't like each other. We don't accept one's testimony about the other. So we rule, the Mishnah rules, v'chamota asura, her mother-in-law can't remarry. And just as Rabbi Tarfon ruled, hayta bat Yisrael kohen tochal b'truma, divrei Rabbi Tarfon. If she was the daughter of an Israelite married to a priest, and now we're talking about the mother-in-law, right? So the mother-in-law was married to a priest. The father-in-law must have been a Kohen. She can eat truma, according to Rabbi Tarfon. In other words, she can't marry in case her husband's alive, but she can continue. She's forbidden from remarrying, but she can carry on eating. She can carry on eating truma. Now, Rabbi Akiva is going to object. It's a carbon copy of the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Zo Derech Motziata Midei Averaj Shetehei Asura Lehinase VaAsura Mi Lechol BiTruma. Rabbi Akiva says this is not a way that would lead her away from transgression unless she's forbidden to marry and forbidden to eat truma. It's as if she has to behave as though she's still married, i.e. she's been to remarry, but she's forbidden to eat truma as well. It's as if she pretends she's both married and unmarried at the same time. That's really what Rabbi Akiva wants. And Rabbi Akiva, having articulated this principle, and the halacha doesn't go like Rabbi Akiva in this case, Rabbi Akiva is now going to bring us, we're now going to see another set of disputes where Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon cross swords. And in these cases, by the way, the halacha is going to go like Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva is now going to win out. First example one. Kidesh achat me chamesh nashim. A man betrothed one of five women. Ein yadua le'ezo kidesh. He can't remember, or it's not known which one he betrothed. It's like the man who married one of. Remember, we learned Mishnah about someone who married five sisters, and he can't remember which one he married, and he actually has to give a get to all of them. He married five women, and he couldn't remember. He has to give a get to all of them. Well, now we're going to play out. So we know he's going to have to give a get to all of them, because he's not sure. But how is the ketubah going to play out? Remember, we've been looking at the relationship between the get and the ketubah. So let's carry on. Kidesh achat mechamesh nashim ve'ein yadua le'ezu kidesh. A man betrothed one of five women. He doesn't know which of them he's betrothed. Kol achat v'achat omeret otiki desh. Each one of them says, oh yeah, I was the one he betrothed. Each one of them claims to be his proper fiancé. Yeah, this is betrothal, not marriage. So there, he's fiancé. So it's a fiancé. Each one of them claims that she's the one. What does he do? Noten get l'chol achat v'achat. So he gives a get to every single one of them. I think that doesn't surprise us. But then, this is the really interesting one. Uketubah b'neihen. He leaves the money of the ketubah between them. Or maybe he leaves a ketubah between them. Anyway, he gives them one ketubah. Umistalek. And he walks off. He just leaves the ketubah between them and he walks off. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, according to Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Akiva is going to object. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Ein zo derech motziato midei avera. This is not the way that's going to lead him away from transgression. Ad shi yiten get uktuba l'chol achat v'achat. Until he gives to each one a get and a ketubah. And we've seen in the past that a wife can suffer extraordinary financial and social punishment if she somehow ends up married to two men. And, you know, some of the commentators say, look, this is, the rabbis have designed it this way just to make sure the women are really careful about not getting married to two men. But here we're seeing the other side of the coin. Here's a man who's not being careful about his kiddushin, and he is punished by having to give away five ketubot. And the Rambam is going to comment, I brought it on the end, sort sheet at the end. The Rambam comments, in the case of someone who married five women, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. This is a financial disaster for the man concerned. He has to give each one of them a get and a ketubah. And it's the same, by the way, in a case of civil damages. So now this is the third dispute between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Zal echad mechamisha. He stole from one of five people. Ve'iyadua le'ezo gazal. He doesn't know which one he's stolen from. Maybe he took something from them in a crowd. And he doesn't know which one. Kol echad ve'echad omer oti gazal. Each one of the five say, oh, he stole from me. Maniach et ha'gzela b'neihem. He basically leaves the robbery, that is the thing he robbed or the value of the thing he robbed. Anyway, he leaves what is due to them. Maniach et ha'gzela b'neihem. He leaves it between them, just like leaving the ketubah between them. Umistalek, and he walks away. It's exactly the same language as in the previous section of the Mishnah. He leaves it between them. He walks away. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. That's what Rabbi Tarfon says. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein, and Rabbi Akiva will give us a carbon copy of his comment. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein zoderech motziah tor midei avera. This is not the way that would lead him away from transgression. Ad sheyeshalem hagzela l'chol echad ve'echad. This is not a way that would lead him away from transgression unless he pays the robbery to each and every one. In other words, I think what the Mishnah is saying is we expect people to take care about their actions, whether it's a man robbing people or whether it's a man giving kiddushin and not being quite sure who he gave kiddushin to. People are expected to take responsibility for their actions. And if they end up in these awful situations, then there is indeed a financial penalty which they have to pay.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.